Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel text is a compelling tale of fear and faith, the power of the elements, and the power of Jesus. The disciples were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. When I was in Israel, I actually got to sail on a boat called the Jesus Boat. In the 1980s, an ancient wreck emerged out of the mud of the Sea of Galilee and turned out to be a boat that was carbon dated to a time frame that could have been when today's story of Jesus and the disciples takes place. It was about 8 meters long and 2.3 meters wide and would probably have held about 15 people, just big enough for Jesus and the disciples to sail on. Now, the Sea of Galilee is the largest freshwater lake in Israel and is said to be quite fearsome when storms come up. I grew up on Lake Superior, the largest freshwater lake in the world, and grew up very aware of the powerful dangers of waters. When I was very young, we had a cottage on Lake Superior, and I would take out a little rowboat periodically. Always the parental warning was to wear my life preserver and to row near the shoreline, not out into the lake. And I sort of, most of the time, obeyed it. Water was to be respected, and hardly a year went by without some news of a lake tragedy or other. I was 17 when the famous ship sinking occurred, which was immortalized in the Gordon Lightfoot ballad, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. As the song became popular across the country, you didn't need to live on the water to be aware of its potential destructive danger. The disciples probably started their sea journey in calm weather, and then all of a sudden, the waves became bigger, and it became harder and harder for them to get across the lake. While the Sea of Galilee was not super large, neither was their boat, and high waves and ferocious winds would surely have been at least disconcerting, if not totally frightening. But what really scared them was someone walking on the water towards them. Jewish superstition held that the sea was a place of chaos and terror and the resting place of the demonic. Our text says that they saw what they thought was a ghost, and Jesus needed to call out to them and identify himself to calm their fears. Now, if it had been me, I would have been happy to see Jesus, happy to recognize that it was Jesus, and equally happy to stay in the safety of the boat until Jesus could come and climb aboard. But that's not Peter's style. If it is Jesus walking on the water, Peter wants to be right beside him, walking on the water. And so he asks for the invitation, and Jesus says to him, "Come." I still might have kind of looked around and looked at the water and kind of went, I don't know about this business. But anyway, the next thing you know, Peter is climbing over the side of the boat and walking towards Jesus on the water. Now, granted, this particular trek did not last very long. The wind and the waves distracted Peter from his aim, which was to get to Jesus. His fear weighed him down, and the next thing you know, he's sinking like a rock. Now, it's easy to be hard on Peter as he lost his focus and began to sink. But I like Dallas Willard's reflection on this whole episode. If any of us had done what Peter did, wouldn't it look great on our resume? Hey, Bishop, wouldn't it be great if I had on my resume that I walked on water for 10 seconds? The point of this text is not that Peter started sinking when fear overwhelmed him. The point is that he had the courage to risk something crazy for the sake of making his way over to where Jesus was. The text tells us nothing of how the other disciples reacted. Were they just agape with wonder when they realized that it was Jesus making his way towards them? Were they cheering Peter on, or were they telling him not to do anything so stupid? When Peter started sinking, did they gasp in fear, or did they just nod their heads because, of course, sinking is going to be the end result of trying to walk on water? Unless you are Jesus, of course. About 10 years ago, John Ortberg used this story as the basis of a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. The book was largely about the willingness to move out of our comfort zones in response to the call of Jesus. Let's start from the beginning. The disciples were sailing the Sea of Galilee, buffeted by wind and waves. It reminds me of a time when I was out rowing on one island lake, perfectly calm when I headed over to the other side of the lake. And suddenly I realized I was going to be working much harder to get back home. The wind and the waves were against me, and the sky started looking stormy, and I found myself praying with every stroke that I would get back before getting rained on. I think I got a little rained on, but I got home before the thunder and the lightning started. No matter how calm our lives can be at certain times, there is no telling when a storm is going to ruin our perfectly good day. Jesus headed out across the water to meet with the disciples. And in the same way, we can count on the presence of Jesus when we are contending with storms. Like the disciples, we might not recognize him at first, but he is with us through anything. The Jesuits have a spirituality that is about finding God in all things. It becomes about valuable spiritual discipline to look at all of the events of our lives and ask, where is Jesus in the middle of this? Because we are never alone. Like most of the disciples, especially when life gets a little stormy, it's tempting to hunker down in the relative safety of our boats. But that's not God's way. Abraham was called to a monumental pilgrimage. Moses was called to confront Pharaoh and lead the people through a desert trek. David confronted Goliath. The Bible is full of stories of people called out of their comfort zone to some risky adventure. What is interesting about today's narrative is the initiative that Peter took. He didn't sit back in the boat and wait for Jesus' call. He initiated this adventure by saying, "If it is you, ask me to come." Peter was more interested in being at Jesus' side than staying in the safety of the boat. And when Jesus said, "Come," Peter trusted Jesus enough to launch himself out of the boat. For each of us, the spiritual life is about discerning Jesus' call and then trusting enough to say yes. Sometimes it may feel a little scary, but truly great spiritual adventures begin with that trusting yes to God. And like Peter, sometimes we find ourselves sinking. We use the expression that we have found ourselves in over our heads. But Peter shows us the way. The minute he realized that he was no longer walking but sinking, he looked to Jesus again and cried out, "Lord, save me!" When our lives begin to feel a little overwhelming, this text serves as an encouragement for us to also cry out to Jesus for help. We live in a culture that promotes self-reliance, a do-it-yourself mentality. But that is not the life that God means for us. Yes, God gives us gifts and abilities, but always our perspective needs to be one of using what God has given us in reliance upon the God who gifted us. Remember, at my induction, when I was asked if I would take on the responsibility of this parish, the answer was, I do, the Lord being my helper. In everything that we do, God is our help. And so we too can take the risk of bailing out of the boat in response to Peter's call. Sorry, to Jesus' call. Trusting that whether we sink or swim or walk on the water, we can rely on Jesus. In this time of discernment for the parish of St. George's, let's pray again. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.